Let's start in Psalms 21. I want to preach to you today about the God of surprises and blessings. And I want to start with Psalms 21 and verse 3 is where I'll begin. It says, "For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you've placed upon him. For you've made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence." You know, as I was thinking about this message today, I started to just realize how much our approach to God can limit what God really wants to do. Our approach to God. For example, many people approach salvation as that's the whole thing. You just get saved, and to them, salvation means escaping hell. I don't have to go to hell. I'm saved from hell. And that's pretty much the limitation of what they go. But salvation is Jesus progressively making me whole my entire life. And it's something that continues working in my life from the very beginning. It never really stops. It's just a continual process. A lot of people that are Spirit-filled limit the Holy Spirit to just speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is important, but how many of you know there's a lot more to it than just that? And then a lot of people limit our prayer. So many people's prayer life is just really worrying out loud or bringing their gripes to God. It's like we have a whole list of things God's supposed to be doing for us, and so we gripe at him because we don't feel like he's doing it fast enough and we want it done more. And we've reduced prayer to just that, rather than it being a relationship or something of some a deep-to-deep kind of communication. We've missed out so much on the precious things of salvation, the beautiful things of the Holy Spirit. We've missed out on a lot. And as I was thinking about this text, I realized and started thinking about how much we're limiting God when it comes to the blessings of God. We've reduced so often, Christians, all of us, reduce the blessings of God to material things. So for example, when I pull up in my brand new Bentley one of these days, you guys are going to go, "Wow, good to be blessed." And you're going to look at that and call it a blessing. And how many of you know it is a blessing? All right, then drive, just take the bus to church. It's a blessing, amen. It's a blessing to have a car, amen. But we look at it, and that's to us the whole thing. You got nice clothes, you must be blessed. You got a pretty wife, you must be blessed. You got healthy children, you know. We start looking at things in a very materialistic way, but God says there's a lot more, and the Apostle Paul says it this way in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing." So he says there's more to it than just material blessings, although we thank God for those. We thank God for new pickup trucks and different things like that. But at the same time, it's not only material. There are spiritual things God does in our lives. Amen. And so he says this, "Blessed be the Lord," this is Psalm 68:19, "who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." Now this is a picture of your arms being extended out, and God just loading benefits onto your arms until you can't carry them no more. I'm ready for that. Amen. I'll hold my arms out. You load them down with $100 bills till I can't carry them no more. Amen. It's a picture. It's a picture, okay, that God says, "I want to load you down." Now, remember, it's not just material things, but it's spiritual things. God wants us to walk in such blessing that we can't carry all the blessings. He wants us to have such a good thing in our lives working. This is the nature of our God. Now, if you only hear that part of the sermon, which many of us do, we romanticize our Christian life, and we make it all about, you know, peaches and cream, the blessings and all the good things. There's two sides to this Christian life, amen. If all I do is romanticize it, then one of these days you're going to hit a struggle and you're going to get derailed and you're going to blame me, okay? But there are some struggles in life, but never lose sight of the mystery and the wonder of God. Never lose sight of the, and don't. Never stop anticipating what God has a plan for you, amen. Never stop anticipating the glory of God along this journey. And sometimes, you know, there are some dark places. Don't get trapped in the dark places. Don't get trapped in the dark places. They happen to everybody. You know, the sailors of old, they used to use these instruments called sextants. And they would use the stars and these instruments, and they could navigate their course across that big blue ocean. And they'd set course, and they would take off going along that way, and they would do really good. But then, just like all the time out in the middle of the sea of your life, storms come. And when it's dark and the clouds have come and the storms have come, you can't see the stars. And you can't use the sextants. And so what they would do is they would just try the best they could to keep the same course they was on. And they would just wait until the storm would pass, the stars would come back out, and they could reset their course. And so I'm saying to you today this very thing. There are dark days, but they're not all dark. Okay? Don't measure your life in the dark days. Don't set your course and try to run your life based on what's happening to you in the dark days. Your measurements for life are better taken on clear days. When things are clear, when things are easy to see, when they're blatant in front of you, that's the best time to set your course so that you can find out what God is doing. You don't want to start looking for things. You want to wait till the blessings of the Lord are loaded upon you. His salvation is powerfully working in you. The Holy Spirit is present upon you. Your prayer life is rich and real. That's when you set your course. Amen. That's when things work. Listen to what he says. Psalms 21, verse 3, the text I started with. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. I love one translation. It says it this way. For you surprise him with the blessings of goodness. It's kind of like here you are. You're walking along the trail of life, and God jumps out. Ha ha! And he surprises you with a blessing. You never even saw him in the bushes, and there he was. The whole time he knew you was coming down that track, and he had a blessing there. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine a while back, and he told me this story. He's a kind of a, I don't know how you'd explain this, pastor, a negative type of a fella. Okay, he's not a real cheerful little pastor. He's kind of a gloomy guy. And so, but he has pretty good disciples. He really does in his church, pretty good leaders. So one day, it's a Saturday night, and he's stressing. He can't get a sermon. It's just not flowing. He can't get an idea. It's getting late. He's got to get a sermon for tomorrow morning. And the phone rings. And it's his disciples, and they say to him, Pastor, you got to come. You got to come. We need your help right now. The police are on their way. Well, that caught his attention. What's going on? Well, we're down at the Civic Center, and we got this demon-possessed guy, and he's going crazy down here, and he's causing all kinds of trouble, and we can't get the demon out of him. Pastor, help! And he's thinking, I don't need to deal with demons right now. I need a sermon. I don't want to go down there. I'm not interested in what's going on. And they said, the police will be here any minute. And he thought, oh, man. So he gets in his car. He drives down there. And just as he gets there, he sees this scuffle of his guys, and they crash into the doors. So he parks his car. He runs up there, opens the door. Surprise! It's a birthday party. The whole church has got this big birthday party planned for him. And this is a guy that doesn't like surprises, but he said, I got to tell you, that was the best surprise. I needed that so much. And not only that, they had got a guest speaker to speak for him the next day. Amen. And so he was really, really happy. And so I'm just telling you, that's the way God will do you, man. On your dark days, God will surprise you. Amen. Somebody say amen. Isaiah 65, 24 says, before they call, before you can even talk to him about it, I'll answer. While you're still speaking, I will hear. So this is saying that God has already gone into your tomorrows. He's already anticipated everything that you'll need. He knows the exact place, the exact moment, the exact time, and God's got a blessing waiting on you. Well, that made me happy. I don't know about you. He knows where you're going to be at. He knows exactly what's going to happen in your life, and God has already prepared a blessing for our lives. How many of you believe that today? That's what the Bible says. John 8:58 says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Not I was, but he says, I am. I remain the I am. In other words, I'm not living in time. I'm outside of time. I can intervene. I can come into time and go out of time, and I can move any kind of way. At the exact moment and the exact place, I know exactly what you need, and I know exactly how to anticipate your every need, your every moment, your everything, and in the dark moments of your life, I know how to show up there. Can somebody shout hallelujah today? That's something powerful to me, that God will go before me and help me. I remember as a young man, we had a very small church. I was just starting to pastor. We had like 35 people or something, and I was about to have a baby. And the doctor in this little town refused to do the surgery if I didn't give him $500. I had to have $500. I didn't have no $500 at the moment. And so I was really struggling about it. And I knelt down in the church that day all by myself. And I said, God, I don't have time to faith this. The baby's coming. I don't want to have to try to deliver this baby myself out on the front porch of the hospital. I need $500. I don't have time, God. I got up from there, walked out to go to my car, and there was a lady in our church walking down the sidewalk. She walks up to me, and she hands me five crisp $100 bills. I could not believe, I mean, just right there. And she said, 3 months ago, while you was preaching, God spoke to my husband to give you $500. Clearly spoke to him, but he did not have the $500. So we've worked and we've saved it up. And he said, he determined to give it to you when he got it. Well, here it is. So do you understand what I'm saying? God knew my moment was coming 3 months earlier. God moved on somebody's heart 3 months earlier. God prepared a blessing for me and jumped out and surprised me. How many of you can show your age a little bit? How many of you remember Gomer Pyle? Surprise, surprise, surprise. That's amen. That's the way it felt to me. I was so happy. Before I could even talk to God, God had already answered my prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Before you can even talk to God, God will answer your prayer. This answer can come in all kinds of forms. It can come, like for one time, it came to me in the gift of ministry. It came to me in the gift of ministry. I was a brand new preacher, didn't know what I was doing, but I was practicing on the poor Navajo Indians. And so they'd let me have these meetings, and I was out at a little community called Dilcon, and you know, you usually had 5-6 people show up, and I'd preach my heart out to them, and so this day, I'm telling you, there had to be 200 of them. I don't know how they got there. I don't know where they came from. All I know, I was trying to preach to these 200 Indians. It's hot, and we're in there preaching, and Navajo people aren't notoriously, I don't know how they'll say, they're not the greatest. They don't really watch over their children during church. Let's just put it that way. So I have a Navajo kid on this leg, a Navajo kid on this leg, one stealing my water, one trying to get the candy on the pulpit, and I'm shaking them off while I'm preaching. This is the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And, you know, I'm trying to be kind because the parents are watching me with their kids, you know. It's crazy. I finally picked this one up and just held him while I preached because they wouldn't come get their kids. They were just running everywhere. And so while I'm preaching, this is the first time it happened. It's happened a couple of times since then. This is the first time it happened. Suddenly, as clear as day, God spoke to me about this fellow in the front and said he's got a kidney disease. I want you to tell him he's got a kidney disease. I'm trying to preach my sermon, and God's telling me, no, shut up. You don't even know what you're talking about. Tell him he's got a kidney disease. Tell him he's got a kidney. He wouldn't quit till finally I just said, you know what? I got to stop for a minute. Sir, do you have a kidney disease? And he screams out. I said, well, okay, let's pray. Before he can get to me, he says he feels fire go all over his body, and he felt he was healed. I said, wow. And then instantly God said, that lady over there can't hear out of her left ear. And so I said, ma'am, you have a hearing problem in the left ear? And she said, yes. And then she starts screaming, God heals her ear. That day we had a blind eye healed. We had two deaf ears healed. We had all kinds of things that you couldn't see, like kidneys. I can't really measure them, but I can tell you when an eye's blind and it can see, right? And everybody in there knew it. It was a miraculous thing that God did it was a gift that God gave me. God, not only me, but he gave the entire group of people. There was just something special about that day. It was a surprise. It wasn't my great sermon. I want to promise you that. It wasn't my great looks, although sometimes you might think. But it was a gift from God. And so then sometimes when God will give you a gift of his word, Jesus will just walk out of the pages. You're down, you're depressed, and you do that crazy thing called Bible roulette. You flip the page open, and sure enough, God will give you a text. And it's just the perfect text at the perfect moment for you or for your kids or something. It's like, wow, God, it's just a surprise, a blessing that you would do this. Sometimes it's just a refreshing. You come to church, you've been beat up by your boss or your wife or whatever, and you come in and you're wore out, and the worship service starts, and you just feel his glory. Amen. You don't want to be driving on the road when I feel his glory in the car. I don't know why God visits me in the car. It's dangerous. I feel the Holy Ghost come on me in the car, man, and I just start shouting out and screaming and hollering. Next thing you know, I'm in the other guy's lane, and people are honking and waving at me with those funny waves. You know what I'm saying? I'm just having a great time, and God is moving. God is surprising me. This is what I love about my God, is God already knows what's going to happen to us tomorrow. God already knows the future for harvest, and he's not freaked out. He's on top of everything. Amen. He's on top of my life. He's on top of your life. He sees everything that's going on, and the word of God says that he'll jump out and surprise you with a blessing. So many benefits, you can't even hold them all, that he'll touch your life and bless your life. And I believe that in this crazy season right now, God's getting ready to bless America. I believe that we're actually in the middle, not of a deconstruction, but a reconstruction. And I believe God is doing something beautiful and powerful right now. I might not can see it, but one of these days it's going to be surprise, surprise, surprise. I was never nervous in heaven like as if I had lost control of America. Amen. God's in complete control. His plans for America haven't changed because the left is going crazy. Amen. He's not changed his mind. He hasn't changed his heart. And so I'm just trying to say to you today, yes, it's wonderful to be blessed with a new car or a new suit or some new shoes or a new home. Those are wonderful things. But there's all kinds of great blessings. Don't shortchange yourself. Your God is a blesser. He knows how to touch your family. The reason my wife's not here today, he blessed us with grandchild number 16. You know? And here she came, beautiful little thing, and now I got another one coming. Before I could turn around, I got one in 3 more weeks that's supposed to pop out. Wow. That one is the 5th one for that son, and he said, we don't even know if it's a male or female. We decided we didn't care no more. We got clothes for either side. We're just going to wait to see what comes out. So I don't know if I'm getting a boy or a girl. I like the name Ray on either one. Anyway. Never shortchange God. Never shortchange the blessing of God. You know, one thing I've prayed for my whole life is to see an angel. Now, if I ever see one, it'll probably scare me to death. I don't have any idea, but I've always said, God, I just want to see an angel, you know. And I want to say to you, I've never seen one. I'm not one of these guys that eats my cornflakes in the morning and angels talk to me. That's just not my thing. But I don't want to rule that out. Amen. I'm not ruling out anything in my life. I don't want to rob God of any kind of adventure he wants to bring into my life, whatever he wants to do, whatever flavor, because my God's a God of surprises. My God's a God of joy. My God's a God of blessing. My God's a God of benefits, and that's the kind of God we serve today. It's all through the Bible, church. It's not like I'm trying to pull some kind of scripture. It's everywhere. Just look in there. Let me tell you the story. You probably know it. Most of the people at church at 8:30 in the morning are probably already saved. Or they're meaner than a snake, one or the other. The story of Moses. Think about that story just for a moment. I mean, it's crazy. The Pharaoh has told everybody that I'm killing every baby. I'm going to kill every male child that's born. The Pharaoh's put this edict out. Well, wouldn't you know it? That's right when baby Moses gets born. Okay? Can I tell you something? It's hard to keep a little baby boy quiet. They scream, they holler, they get loud, they make noise. Mama knows she's going to get busted. Mama knows he's going to die. Mama knows she's going to die. The whole family's going to die. She's got to do something. So she takes the baby, she puts him in a little woven basket. She sticks him out on the Nile River and floats him down the river. And she tells Moses' big sister, follow him down the river, see what's going on, see what happens, see what transpires. She's brokenhearted. Can you imagine putting your baby in a basket and floating it out the river? Now, there's two things that happen right there that you might not know. Maybe you do. First of all, the Nile River is known for crocodiles. And the Pharaoh has to kill a crocodile to prove he's a god every once in a while. I'm not sure exactly how that worked. I believe it was yearly. It might have been more than that. I don't know. But he'd have to go out and kill a crocodile to prove he was a god of the crocodiles. Well, when this baby comes floating through all the crocodiles, immediately Pharaoh's daughter, his basket floats right into where Pharaoh's daughter's taking a bath, you know, or whatever. She's out there. There he is. First of all, that makes him a god in their minds. So she's going to take him. Second of all, grass baskets with babies in them don't float. Okay, so the moment they realized that this basket was floating, it was in the Bible, they realized the only thing to keep a grass basket floating is petroleum-based product. And so that's when Standard Oil went over to the Middle East and started drilling for oil. True story. Amen. Your Bible will help you out. There's a lot of gold in that Bible. There's a lot of gold in them there pages. Amen. So here comes this floating little baby, comes floating in, and Pharaoh's daughter sees the baby. He coos at her. Whatever he does, she falls in love. She takes him into the house, and now she's got this illegal baby in the Pharaoh's house. Little do they know they're actually going to raise up God's deliverer in their own house. Surprise, surprise, surprise. And there he comes, floating right in. And then the nurse says, or the woman says, he's a nursing baby. Who can nurse him? And here comes the big sister, been following him down the river. I know somebody that can nurse him. And the next thing you know, Moses' own mom gets to nurse the baby. Now, can I tell you, God's a God of benefits and blessings. Our God has a way of working things out. He'll go before you. He'll make a way. When you get in what God's plans are and you start working your life according to God, there are incredible blessings. Watch what it says in Luke 21, verse 10. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes in various places. There'll be famines and pestilences. There will be fearful sights and great signs from the heaven. But before all these things, they're going to lay hands on you and persecute you. They'll deliver you up in synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But here's what I want you to see. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. In other words, here's what God's saying. In the worst moments than you could possibly imagine, look around because I'm there. Look around because I'm there. And I'm going to take what's happening to you and I'm going to turn it into a blessing. And I'm going to let my testimony flow through you to everybody else. People are going to see me through you because of the way you endure those times. I'm going to bless you right in the middle of the turbulence. Amen. So I'm looking for that blessing right now. I'm believing God that right now God is getting ready to have a surprise party and I want to be there. I believe God is doing something in the earth. Listen to what it says in Psalms 21:7. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy, what is mercy? Something you get off of something, you deserve some trouble, but you get free. That's mercy. God lets you go. Through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. When I read that, this is part of our text, I got to thinking about the safety of God, or the, you know, security is a big business right now. My sister runs one of the largest security system services in Arizona, and it's big business. I mean, people are going crazy. They're buying all kinds of incredible security systems now. Not, you know, you got the doorknobs that, you know what I'm saying, the doorbells that you can get on your phone and you can watch who's at your door and make it bigger and see who's at your front door while you're even not there. But they've got a security stuff nowadays that'll blow your mind. Cameras of all kinds, guns are skyrocketing, guard dogs, all kinds of stuff. And people are not feeling secure. And the same thing's happening in the church. A lot of Christians don't feel secure in their Christian life. They don't feel that they're good enough. They don't feel that they're worthy. They don't feel they've done enough. And they're always afraid they're going to slip off. They're going to make a mistake. That God's going to be upset. That God's going to be mad. They're going to blow it somehow. I was thinking about that. When I was a young kid, we had a fence that was about 8 foot tall. And it was made out of two by material, 2x6s. And the neighbor over there had these black and tan hound dogs. And these black and tan hound dogs were mean, partially because we threw rocks at them. And those dogs, man, they were vicious. Those dogs were vicious. So we had this game where we'd play. And it was a little longer than this auditorium. We would try to tightwop that fence, okay? And dogs on that side, my parents on this side. And the trick was, while you tight, well, you couldn't touch the guy on the fence, but you could try to scare him. You could get sticks and wave them at him and try to see if you could get him to go like that and fall. Because if you fall on that side, you're going to get ate alive. it was a lot of fun. Well, that's the way some people, Christians, are walking their life right now, like this. Like if you slip, you're going to fall on that side and fall into hell. Okay, and they're afraid, they're scared. But I want to tell you, our life is not a tightrope. Our life is not a narrow, thin path. Our life is, you know, I know religious terror tactics have done that to us for years. I was a little kid, I was scared to death to go to the movies. Man, because I was told, if you go to the movies and Jesus comes while you're in there, you're going to get left behind. I was scared to death. I'm watching Bambi. Fear gripped my soul. And we couldn't even go roller skating together. If there was a girl on the roller skating rink while a guy was on, you was going to hell. We could not roller skate together. We could not do any kind of thing like that together. So my whole life, I walked around with this fear inside of me that if I look at a girl, I have to gouge out my left eye. You guys weren't raised in church, was you? I was raised in a mean church, man. They scare you to death. The terror tactics had me fearful. So when I got saved, you know, later on, I'm so afraid that I'm going to make a mistake as a pastor, so afraid I'm going to make a mistake as a Christian. I didn't know what to do. Fear gripped my heart, and it was robbing me of the blessing and the benefits of my God. I want to tell you, the world out there right now is trying to attack us with fear. But our God's got this, church. Our God has got this. He's got it in his hand, and through his mercy, we might not deserve what he's going to give us, but he's going to give it to us anyway. It says, we shall not be moved. God's going to hold his church together. This church is, amen. Somebody say amen. God's church is not going to fall apart because of somebody else. God has got it in his hand. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And watch what it says. And your righteousness is from me, says the Lord. It's not sourced in us. It's not sourced in our performance. It's sourced in Jesus Christ. And his righteousness is my righteousness. I'm not on my own down here. God's on my side. God's blessings are on my side. And here's the solid truth. If you want Jesus to keep you, he'll keep you. Amen. If you want to be kept, God will keep you. Listen to what he says. Deuteronomy 33, 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy before you and will say, destroy them. So I'm trying to tell you, this is not a tightrope. This is not some kind of a scary little banana peel that you're walking on. This is a fortress. That's what he says. I am your refuge. I'm your fortress. I'm your place. And if you face plant, if you make a mistake and you face plant, my everlasting arms are underneath you to catch you. I'll catch you. I won't let you go. I'm the best security system you've ever had. I'm the one that's there for you at all times. I'll be there for you. I'm a refuge. I'm a fortress. I'm a God that has benefits. I'm ahead of you. I know what enemy's coming after you. I've already got him taken care of. Don't worry about it. Listen to what he says in Psalms 125:1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed forever, but abide forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and even into Chesapeake. That's what it says. And forever. Everybody say forever. Amen. Psalms 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, in my God I will trust. How many of you believe those scriptures? I grew up in a small town. I mean, there was 3,000 of us at the best days. That's when the railroad was really going. I don't know if you've been, how many of you grew up in small towns? Let me talk to you for those that didn't. In a small town, when you get in a fight, it's a fight, buddy. They will beat the fire out of you. They'll take you off in a back alley, and I'm talking about they'll beat you, kick you, stomp on you, spit on you, and beat you some more. I mean, they'll beat the fire out of you, okay? It's for real beating when you get in a fight in a small town. And you never want to get in a fight in a back alley if you can help it, because cops won't see you. They'll beat you to death. They'll drag you with a rope down the alley. And so you got to be careful, okay? So my little friend was about 9 years old, little smart aleck guy, man. He had a smart mouth. And I don't know why he did it. Oh, another thing about small towns. Friday night, everybody goes to the football game. The whole town's at the football game. Everybody's at the football game. So we're at the football game. He's about 9 years old. I think we're about 9, 10, 8, 9, 10, 7. And he smarts off to this big 15-year-old guy. Well, the big 15-year-old guy, I'll kill you. You know, I'm going to beat the fire out of you. But he runs off into the crowd. Well, he gets up, and he's way up at the top of the bleachers, way up over here, and he's looking for that 15-year-old, and he spots him. He's way down there, and the 15-year-old sees him. The 15-year-old gives him that look like, tear you up, man. I'm going to get you. And he realizes, I'm in trouble, man. I can't get out of here. I've either got to go right past him, or I've got to climb down this backside, jump over the fence. If I jump the fence and run for it, he'll go out that gate and get me. I'll just be out of the lights when he catches me. That's not a good place to get caught. So his heart is just pounding. What am I going to do? I got to get away from that 15-year-old. He's thinking about what he did. Being a smart aleck was not a good idea. Too late now. He's done caused the problems. But then he looks down, and he looks down there at the edge of the seats, and there he is, Big Earl. Big Earl has the reputation of being the local head knocker. Big Earl is like a junior in high school. He's built like a brick house. He beats up everybody. He's awesome. And the greatest thing about Big Earl, he just started dating this guy's older sister. And so he's got to make points with the older sister, you know what I mean? He's got to make some points. So he says, that's my out, man. He runs down there to Big Earl, and he tells him, that guy over there, he's going to beat me up. He's mad at me. And Big Earl says, Go sit down, son. Get back up there where you belong. I'll take care of it. And he says he watches Big Earl go over, and he sees him down there with his 15-year-old. And he's poking him in the head. You know, and he says you can see the color going out of that guy down there. He's fearful. He, Big Earl, the head knocker's thumping him on his head. And you can see he's fear-stricken. So Big Earl walks by, and he gives him the thumbs up. Don't worry about it. And he said, I'm sitting up there, and then I look back down at the 15-year-old. Now it changes. Now it's me up there, and I'm going, Yeah, he says the whole thing, because here's what happened. Here's what happened if you haven't followed my story. Now he's under the shadow of the Most High Earl. He didn't have to do nothing. He didn't have to perform. He didn't have to be big and bad and strong, because Earl was big and bad and strong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We have a God that's big and bad and strong. We have a God that no matter how weak you are, he is great and he is strong. He's your refuge. He's your shadow. He'll watch over your life. And the truth is, it has nothing to do with your weakness. It has nothing to do with your strength. It has everything to do with the God who you serve. Because your God will get in a fire with you. Your God will get in your mess with you. And your God has the capacity to bring you out to the other side. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to encourage you today. I know you don't want to be encouraged, but you got to be encouraged anyway. We live in a crazy time, but our God's got this, church. Our God's got this. Psalms 91:14 says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. God says this is all you got to do. Set your love on me. If you set your love on me, I'll deliver you. I'll take care of you. I'll watch over you. Now, here's my favorite text as we get ready to wrap this up. This is what I really was looking for. Psalm 73:22. I was foolish and I was ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, everybody say that with me. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. Let me interpret that for you, Kirkland style. I was a fool and dumb as a dog. That's what he says. Nevertheless. You want to do a powerful word study sometime? Study that word right there, nevertheless. It is a powerful word study in your Bible. He says, you're going to hold me by my right hand. Now, this nevertheless is not a word of consolation. It means God is always greater and never less. He's always greater and never less. My boys were little, and they had lots of energy because I gave them cinnamon toast. And they had lots of this energy inside of them, and they would jump and run. And if there was ever a mud puddle, they went straight for it. If there was ever fast traffic on a road, they tried to run out there, okay? And so you know what I had to do? Nevertheless, I'd grab them by their little right arms, and I would hold them from safety because I wanted them to see their future. And God says, I know you've been stupid. I know you've ran off into some dumb things. I know you've done some. Nevertheless, I'll grab you by your right arm, and I'll keep you out of it. I'll have mercy on you. I'll watch over you. I'll take care of you. Nevertheless, you made some horrible mistakes. Nevertheless, you are safe with me. You are safe with me. I'll take care of it. I'm not even going to tell everybody what you did. Thank you, Jesus. He doesn't tell everybody what you did. He's nevertheless, he reaches down. He touches you by your right hand. He brings you right where he needs to be. He anticipates your every need. He knows everything that's going on in your life. He's way ahead of you. He's already on the trail. He's got your blessing set aside for you, and you can be anchored in the goodness of God. Can somebody shout amen for that? I'm going to give you one last statement here. If you're not anchored in the goodness of God, you will lower your theology to match your pain. Anchor yourself in the goodness of God. Know that your God will benefit you. Know that your God will watch after you. Know that your God's already ahead of you. He sees everything that's going to happen to you 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. He's got it. You can trust your God. It doesn't always have to make sense up here. It has to make sense with what God says. Amen. And when I'm weak, he is strong. When I'm feeble, he is great. When I'm poor, he is rich. I'm telling you, God has got a plan for all of our lives. He's got us by his hand. He'll lift us up. If you slip and fall, he'll grab you. You don't have to worry about the black and tan hounds. God's got it. Amen. I'm still alive. Amen. Amen. You don't know what a miracle that is, because I tempted the Lord my God. Amen. But he kept me and he saved me and he watched over my life. And because he had a plan, and you're all sitting here because he has a plan for you too. So I want to encourage you in that today. Rekindle your hope in God. I don't care what the CNN's saying. Turn it off. I'm telling you, turn off all that junk. It's just flat out lies, most of it anyway. Get your hope back in your God. Spend as much time in your word as you do in your TV. Get your hope back in God. Get your expectancy back in God. Get your faith back in God. Put it there. That's where your heart needs to be. That's where your soul needs to be. And that's where God says, if you'll just love me and be with me and connect to me, I'll look over all kinds of mistakes for you. I'm not even worried about it. I'll help you. It's not your righteousness anyway. It's Jesus' righteousness. It's what he's done for you. And he's already ahead of your game. Can you thank God that he's ahead of you already? He anticipates what you need, and he's going to surprise you one of these days. Everybody say it with me. Surprise, surprise, surprise. One more time. Surprise, surprise, surprise. And one more thing. Nevertheless. Say it with me. Nevertheless. One more time. Nevertheless. I almost titled this sermon, Nevertheless. Nevertheless. God is nevertheless. Never is he the less. Amen. And he's going to take care of your needs. He loves you greatly. Would you bow your heads today? Would you bow your heads today? Father, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, God, that we can trust you and your goodness over our lives, that you are overshadowing us and watching for us and having mercy upon us, that you are keeping us, God, that you've got us by the right hand and you won't let us slip into somewhere where we should not be. Nevertheless, Lord, you're always there. You're always ready. You're always willing. Thank God that you never change. You're always willing to help us and to minister and keep us. And so we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that today in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I want to do something today. I know everybody in here pretty much. But maybe you've come in and you're just weary. Just wore out with all that's going on. It's just got you drained. A lot of Christians right now are very, very drained. But I want to tell you, our God's got it. And if you're drained, I just want you to stand up. Just stand up right where you're at. We want to pray for you. Just want to pray a prayer on you. You just feel drained in your spirit. Just wore out. You don't even know why. Amen. All kinds of evil reports. See, it really boils down to this. Whose report are you going to believe? You're either going to believe God or CNN. You got a choice. Which one are you going to believe, ABC or God? You got a choice. Whose report are you going to believe? Whose report? So I'm challenging you today. Today, shake all that off. Just shake it off and put your faith and your hope back in God. Now, Father, you see these that are standing here. You see what's going on in their hearts and their lives. And today, as the body of Christ here, these are our brothers and our sisters. And so, Lord, we ask you to reach down, touch their lives, strengthen them, fill them with hope that their future is bright and will remain bright. That you have a plan for their lives, that they're not off course, they're not going to get shortchanged. You've put them here for such a time as this. They're exactly who they need to be at exactly the right time, exactly the right moment. So I thank you for that, Lord, and I bless you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.